All right. Good morning. And are you guys having a good morning or are you a bit tired? A good morning. Okay. Good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Welcome to this session regarding how to deliver backup as a service, restore as a service, and disaster recovery as a service using System Center and Azure. My name is Robert and I'm from up north in Europe, from Sweden, and I'm an MVP for Cloud and Data Center Management, and I'm also a principal architect for delivering scenario-based solutions that I design on the Microsoft stack. I'm quite passionate about the business continuity, and I try always to, you know, bring a great value regarding, you know, visions, design thoughts, and so on and so forth. I love interaction, so if you guys have any questions or, you know, things that you're wondering about, feel free to just haul them out, right? Sounds good? Okay, let's get started. So the agenda for this session, first off, we will talk about defining the services. What is that actually? What do I mean with that? Then we're going to go down in the different technologies. We're going to look about DPM, SCUM, Orchestrator, Service Manager. Sounds good? Cool. So defining the services. Microsoft's new vision or motto is cloud first, mobile first, right? And defining the services actually means that you have to stop thinking of products, right? Don't think of Ops Manager, Service Manager, or DPM for that sake. Think of how you can join the different possibilities to build up a BaaS or a Restore as a Service. And defining the services, well, first off, we need to look at the modern data center. So there are three pillars that a modern data center consists of: highly resilient, highly automated, and well-structured services. Highly resilient, meaning that we can provide more power if we need. Highly automated, of course, is highly automation concepts in that data center. And here's the thing. Could you say yes or no? Can you all say yes? Yes. Oh, good. Someone is awake. Cool. So here's a question I want to answer. Should you automate everything in your data center? Yes or no? Yes. No. You should strive to do it. You should try to do it. Your ambition should be, of course, automate as much as possible. But there's also something called reality that, like Murphy, comes up and here I am, and makes things interesting sometimes. But always try to, you know, provide highly automated concepts that is of major importance. Well-structured services, what is that? Well, first we've got to look at the service. Instead of seeing like Exchange as an Exchange server, if you got that on-prem, look at it as the service email. Almost when you build up, you know, distributed applications in App Manager, provide, you know, build up the restore scenario instead of thinking backup, think restore. What are my restore plans? What is the RTO, the RLO, and the RPO for that service? And for the components that build up that service, right? So how to design a service? Well, first off, take use of the great possibilities of using the entire System Center stack. How many of you guys are using DPM today? Cool. Combine DPM with Orchestrator, with PowerShell, with Service Manager, with VMM, with Config, and take, you know, back in Sweden, we have this saying, we pick the raisins out of the cookie, right? Do that with the System Center suite and build the service. So how do you deliver actually BaaS, RAS, or DRAS? Well, planning. You need to understand how the service is, you know, the dependencies of the different components, right? You need to design it according to the restore plan that is a part of a business continuity plan. And when you have that all sorted out, you start implementing. The common workloads there is out there is Hyper-V, SQL, file, and so on and so forth. File backup, that is an interesting thing. Never underestimate file backup. What Microsoft is doing is they are providing a fully supported, fully optimal way of doing restore scenarios with DPM, right? And let's take this for example. If you're having like Oracle servers in your data center, use pre-post commands in the DPM agent to dump the different Oracle databases and snapshot those as flat files. And there you go. There you have a supported scenario. So there's more than meets the eye with the file workload. You need to be, you know, you need to find the different scenario to fit that. So the approach. Well, the approach is to pinpoint the most frequent workloads. If you have a lot of SQL databases, okay, start there. Don't go out and, you know, back up everything in your data center once per day. Do you guys do that? You should not do that. What you should do is pinpoint them and provide a backup schedule that is, you know, optimal for your restore plan. Back it up, use Ops Manager to monitor it, to manage your restore capabilities, that is, your BaaS service. Automation, use SMA with PowerShell or Orchestrator. I would recommend you guys to start, you know, working more with just plain PowerShell than relying on the different capabilities and functions in Orchestrator. And we deliver the service using Service Manager. Something as a service, as I said, it depends on different components that build up the whole. So something as a service is provided by using the different power of the different components. Any questions so far? Good. Let's look at DPM. So for you who doesn't have DPM today, Data Protection Manager has been around since 2006, and the first version was just, you know, backup files. The last 6 months, there have been a large or huge investment from Microsoft side. DPM has been a product that has been, you know, risen from the dead, more or less, since DPM has been somewhat the black sheep of the System Center family, not getting that much attention. Microsoft has, you know, turned the table and said, okay, we are talking about clouds, right? We're talking about private cloud, public cloud, hybrid clouds, and so on and so forth. We need to have something that can provide the restore capabilities. So Microsoft has provided for us a huge investment, both in time and persons, and the number of developers that are actually developing and making this product better is not doubled, not tripled, it's been quadrupled. So they're putting a lot of time on it. And with the past 6 months, there's been more development than the last 3 years. So there's a lot of good things also coming. 2015, it will be a great year. So DPM, what you do is you have your primary DPM server that back up your primary workloads in your modern data center. DPM is a backup to disk solution. And you can use SAN, NAS, DAS, or iSCSI if you also like that, but I would recommend you not use directly iSCSI to the DPM server. You can hold up to 9,024 online snapshots in your disk pool, and DPM doesn't provide you with that secret black code that do something extraordinary. Now, DPM go out to the servers and say, hey guys, what do you have? And we are talking with the VSS components, right? And we know the different technologies because we have a manifest that states that, okay, this is a SQL server. We know how to do the restores because that is provided to us via the VSS information. How many of you guys are familiar with the VSS? Some of you are and some of you are not. So, volume shadow copy technology was developed in the 2003 server release with the purpose of being able to do snapshots. And the APIs of that technology is, of course, public for the different third-party vendors. But what Microsoft has done is there's a major difference. The difference is Microsoft are, you know, they're able to see the total kernel execution. Third-party vendors, they're doing a good job. I'm not saying others, right? But third-party vendors are not able to see all the things that the DPM search technology can see. And also, how come Microsoft always talk about, you know, supported, optimal, and you know, good restore plans? Here's the thing. Microsoft knows how to restore the Exchange Server workload in the most in a supported way. Because they are using the frameworks from the Exchange team, what they are providing. We also need to think that instead of doing like, you know, Lord of the Rings theme of having one server to rule them all in the data center, think of a DPM server as an instance to your BAS. Because remember what I said before, a modern data center is highly resilient and highly automated and with well-structured services, right? If you're having the vision of, yeah, I would like to start to build a BAS service for my data center, you need to consider the DPM servers as instances to your BAS. Monitor and manage that via Ops Manager, and when you get an alert that, oh, I need to provision more VMs that have the DPM servers in there, do it and automate that. So DPM server technology is an instance to the BAS service. Keep that in mind. We also are able now to in a virtual DPM server deployment, to use synthetic fiber channels, so we can use a physical tape library that is not included in the virtual concept. So we can talk directly from the virtual DPM server to an actual physical hardware. This is something that should be released in the R2, but due to some limitations in Hyper-V, it was postponed. But now we got it, and I recommend you guys to start working with it. DPM is also a product that you can use for disaster recovery scenarios. Has anyone here tried to build a disaster recovery scenarios now and then? And how did that go? Good? Of course it went good. You're a good man. Hey, what? Yeah. So what is important is also looking at the different, you know, challenges with business continuity is cost, right? It costs a lot of money providing and building and bring the BAS service sometimes to the table, right? Because if you're using third-party vendor technologies or you're using or relying more or less on expensive SAN replications between data centers, my recommendation is go with the Microsoft stack. You'll save a lot of money on that instead of buying expensive hardware. And also reduce the complexity of the solutions. Integrate your primary DPM server with Azure. We have the backup vault, and I will cover that more in detail. But the backup vault was first provided to have 120 days of retention time if you put up one recovery point. If you put up two recovery points, you can have that for 60 days. What Microsoft has done now with the DPM team, they had some great conversations with the Azure team because they don't own the code for the Azure recovery services, the backup vault. The Azure team does. And the Azure team has now provided you guys to have 3,360 days in Azure. And the purpose, we will cover a bit more the purpose of the backup vault so that is clear. Coming right up. So the purpose of the backup vault, what is that? Initially, Microsoft stated that we'll try to make it possible for you guys to eliminate tapes. Okay, that was a good vision, right? But initially, when we just had 120 days, that was not doable at all. But now that we have 3,360 days, we are getting closer. We are not there yet, but we're getting closer. What you need to do regarding what we define as long-term retention recovery goals are combining Azure, VTL, and physical tapes. What is important is the different services that you are backing up, you need to classify those. You need to understand that all my data are not equivalently important. Some servers, some data is, of course, more important than other data. So I need to have different class. To start up, you have like gold, silver, and bronze. So you classify your data, and you build the restore scenarios from that classification. Because when you do that, you know the backup schedules. You know how to design your BaaS service. So the purpose of the backup vault, well, here's the thing. Due to some, let's say, legal jurisdictions, you may not, or you may, put up data in Azure. Having 3,360 days, that's a great step forward. But still, we need to have more opportunities than to just put up one recovery point every month. Because that's what you get. You can put up 120 recovery points if you put it up once a month. So you should see for longer retention times, you should consider Azure, the backup vault, as an archiving feature. Because what is the most important? When you try to restore from Azure, what's the key headache or the most pain? Yeah. So just because you can do something doesn't necessarily mean that you should do it. So you need to put up all the scenarios before you build it, right? And this is so good because we heard this a lot regarding the disk pool in DPM. It is, how many thinks that DPM uses a lot of disk space? And it does. But here's the good thing. Providing, when you're building your fabrics in your cloud-out environment, right, you have your scale of file server technologies that will host the different components from the fabric perspective. The VHDX files, since you now, also, of course, build your DPM server technologies all virtual, the VHDX files that you provide to the DPM server, you put them on the scale of file server, and you're able to deduplicate those. Initially, we will deduplicate protected Hyper-V VMs. But you will see a lot more coming. The goal is, of course, to deduplicate all protected data. But we need to start with something. And to build, you know, the private cloud scenario with the Aptiv Rollup 3 Microsoft provided, the deduplication of the VMs, and got the synthetic fiber channels up and running. So the private cloud story is there. How many of you guys are running VMs in Azure as IaaS? Some of you are, and some of you are not. So the problem or the biggest challenge with that is you need to understand that, okay, service reboot in Azure, that's one thing, but also how could we protect those? A few weeks ago, it was a blog post released that was stated that it is now supported to run DPM as in a VM in Azure, protecting the workloads that are present in Azure, meaning that you can protect SharePoint, SQL, and Windows Server. And Microsoft is, of course, considering, looking, and trying with best effort to provide you more protection. But the most important part, that is scale, right? The solution needs to scale. So that is the main focus right now from the product team. As I said, 2015 will be a great year. Talking about scale, does anyone have a 64-node cluster hosting 8,000 VMs? Or perhaps an 8-node cluster or something, yeah. In the private cloud scenario, Microsoft thought that, okay, we need something that can scale because we have limitations in the Windows Server operating system. The LDM that gives us only the possibility to have 600 volumes, right? So we need to be aware of the limitations. We need to be aware that we can have 80 terabytes of data presented to the DPM server. And we also need to be aware that, okay, don't go over 17 terabyte because the GUIDs will be interesting. You need to be aware of that when you're designing this. So from a large scale deployment, when you're up there and trying to protect that, use scale-out feature. The scale-out protection or the scale-out feature means that you have multiple DPM server instances in your BAS, and in every node and on your scale-out file cluster, you provide information that, oh, those guys can also talk to the cluster. So you can have five primary DPM servers sharing the information in the cluster. That does not mean, and I need to be very clear on that, that does not mean that you can protect VM1 on five different DPM servers. No. That means that you can protect VM1 on one DPM server, and then you can protect VM2 on the other, and so on and so forth. So you can scale it. So let's look at some demos. I'm just going to quickly show you DPM, so you guys all know what it's all about. So as I said, DPM is a focus restore functionality from Microsoft that builds up the restore capabilities in your modern data center. You have five different views: monitoring, protection, recovery, reporting, and management. The reporting part is quite interesting. There you got six standard reports that give you somewhat of information. The reports will be highly, I would say, highly advanced within a couple of months. And you will see a lot of good things coming out there. The thing about DPM is people forget those guys, the filters. Use filters. You who works with DPM currently, are you using filters? Some of you are and some of you are not. So go with the filters and build up the different filters so you can provide your current state of the protected data sources. The protection, well, what DPM does is you design the different protection groups. And the protection groups consist of data sources that you choose to protect. See this as the backup schedule. The good thing about DPM is you do one full backup, and afterwards, you identify the block-level changes using the VSS technology and the second type of architecture in the VSS technology called copy-on-write. Have you heard of copy-on-write technology in the VSS architecture? Yes or no? Yep. You have? The other ones? Okay. So the copy-on-write technology means that what we are doing is we are identifying that, okay, those blocks are SQL. Those blocks are file. Those blocks are yada, 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 and so on and so forth. When we start to build up the restore capabilities, we identify the block level changes, replicate those. We do one full replica, and afterwards, we just move the data churn, that is, the only changed blocks. And Microsoft has put a lot of money in the mathematical algorithm design of identification of those blocks. So this is a very fast identification process. And copy on write, what does that mean? Well, when you're moving your data churn from your protected data source for a SQL server, for example, or let's say Exchange, when you're doing the snapshot, some data will change, right? You will still get new mails. And if that occurs, the VSS architecture will say, okay, cool. I have identified that those blocks have now changed and consist of new data churns. I will finish up what I'm doing right here, and I'll take care of you guys just in a little while. And this is a very, very fast technology. The recovery, I'm just going to mention it. The recovery thing with DPM, or thing, the recovery process, it is wizard-driven, right? The key thing about DPM from the start, from the product group, was not to have this complex, hard product to work with that, you know, you had to do a lot of prereqs, yada, 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 to get stuff up and running. No, the key feature of DPM is to be able to do an easy recovery. And having the GUI or PowerShell, because building your restore as a service mean that you can provide something in Service Manager and say, you want restore as a service? Cool. Let's restore the VMs. Let's restore SQL. Let's restore SharePoint. Go wild. Sky's the limit, right? So the store scenarios are very, very easy. I could talk about DPM a whole day, but you probably get bored. So let's go on to Ops Manager. The good thing of being a consultant and also a principal architect and subcontractor for Microsoft Consulting Services and Premier Field Engineers are you have the great possibility to meet a lot of nice people. I like meeting people, yeah. And the fun thing of meeting people is that you get to listen to them and understand their, you know, their needs. And when it comes to Ops Manager, there's a lot of fun going on because a lot of people think that there's a constantly, you know, world championship going on in management pack import. So a lot of companies are like, whoa, there's a new management pack. Let's import it in production. No, you should not do that. Coming out to customer sites is like Christmas because there is a light up console, like a Christmas tree. And like, hey guys, what is that? Oh, that's the that's the Ops Manager console. Okay, there's a lot of alerts here. Yeah, we know. Want some coffee? Okay. Once again, have a decent approach regarding the monitoring concept. Don't go out there and import every Microsoft written management pack there is. Come on. As I said before, define the services. How many of you guys are monitoring SQL? Good. Every instance in your SQL server, every database in that instance, every rule, every monitor, every type of discovery, is that needed? No, it's not. Surprise. Because what is important is understand the data service dependencies of how you build up the service. Monitor and manage only the thing that you need. The same goes with the restore. The same goes with the automation concept. The same goes with how you provision something as a service. Do what you should do. Don't do everything because it's cool or whatever. Scale it. Provide the right number of management servers. Build up your resource pools and have a, you know, sober approach, a good approach. The centralized console. The centralized console was something that we provided in the 2012 release, and what it provides you is the ability, based on both the management pack forward for DPM and also built on the architecture of Ops Manager, the possibility of manage approximately 100 DPM servers per management group or 50,000 protected data sources. And this is theoretical numbers, right? It depends on size, how often you know, query stuff and this and how severe your operational database is and so on and so forth. There's a lot of parameters here, but you have a very large scale. Does anyone here have more than 80 DPM servers in their data center? 70, 60, 50, 40, 30, 40? So you can use this feature for 40 more. That's good. So let's have a look at the centralized console. Because one of the pains regarding building business continuity is the management. And I'm not meaning my boss or your boss, not that management, but the management of the services. And what you should do is use Ops Manager the right way. So first things first, Ops Manager. And is everybody aware of SCUM or Ops Manager? Is this new to anyone? You can say okay. You're all gurus at this. Cool. So the fun stuff starts here. The different state views. When you have so a private cloud deployment, you have your fabric monitor, you have your fabric domain. And you also could have your tenant domain and so on and so forth. You can build that in different ways, of course, but the DPM service provision of backing up your tenants are probably in the same domain, right? So what you do is you have great possibilities of do what we call scoop troubleshooting and of course, management of the DPM server. So what I'm doing right here is I clicked on an object, I managed the object in Ops Manager, and I say, I want to manage it. So I'm kicking off a server task in Ops Manager from the management pack, and there you go. Here's my console, and I'm at the SCOM server right now, but I have the same experience as I were on the actual DPM server. Okay, we got the management part covered, right? But is there any more to it? Of course. Restore capabilities. What is really nice about Ops Manager is that you can, and the management pack provided, of course, is that you can go to different data sources and say, okay, I want to restore, let's say I want to restore this SQL database. And I hit recover data source. And here's the cool thing. Remember what I said, that DPM servers should be looked at instance to your BAS service or your RAS service. What is happening right now is the management pack are open the DPM console, and I'm directly moved to the recovery part. I have the right data source presented, and from here, I have the same experience of doing my recovery as I were on the actual console. And I don't need to know that this is DPM server 23 or 48 or number 2. Ops Manager will keep track of that for me. Another good thing about Ops Manager is distributed applications. Has anyone worked with DAs? One, two, a few of you? Cool. Does everybody know what distributed application is? It's a way of, what Microsoft is saying is, from a service perspective, one look, one approach, or one look, one reaction, meaning that we have all the components that the service is built up from, and we can see what components is failing. And we can also build service-level track objects with service-level trackings. So what we're doing, let's build a distributed applications for DPM, right? The first thing we do is create a new distributed application. Let's call it SysCenter Universe. And I always use the advanced template. You can also create your own template here if you want that. So what you do is you provide components, you add components. Let's call this DPM. And of course, you need to have provided the management pack you need for building up your distributed application in Ops Manager. So I have SQL, I have Windows Server, I have DPM management pack, so I'm going to query and find out that, okay, here's my object for DPM. And then I can add another component saying that, oh, I want the DPM database. And from here, I can look up the DPM DB. And from here, I can build it up. I can create relationships, and so on and so forth. Like the Swedish chefs, as the Swede I am, I've built a distributed applications for DPM. So this is something that you can do in DAD, or distributed application designer in Ops Manager. And from this, you can take this even further. That object, you can connect a service level tracking object for that, because every distributed applications will be a class in Ops Manager. And a class in Ops Manager is something that you can use and reproduce of. So from there, we can build up service level tracking. And here I have previously built one called Restore Services. And the Restore Services is looking at the class Restore Capabilities. That was my distributed application, right? Where I have my VTLs, my disk, my protection groups, and so on and so forth. And from here, I decide what kind of objects I want to have. I can have state, monitoring state, or I can have collection rules. I go with the monitoring state because I want to look at the actual state. And this is what I've done here. Looking at it, I can also provide information of what should be considered as downtime for this distributed application. So, unplanned maintenance, yeah, that could be considered as a showstopper, and so on and so forth. From here, what you do is, in the monitoring pane, you have something called summary dashboard. And as anyone worked with the service level dashboards, anyone? No one? One? Two? That is not, I'm not counting you guys because you're MVPs, so, yeah. So here's the thing. Look here, looky-looky. What you're seeing is my distributed application, right? And from here, I have the ability of include that and say that, okay, I want to look at the last 14 days. So I also concur in my data warehouse. And there we go. So what it's actually doing now is collecting the different information from my operational database, from my data warehouse database, and build up the presentation. And as you can see, I have some challenges in my lab environment, right? I think my SLA is broken. But here's the good thing, here's the thing you should do. Provide different service level tracking objects that are comparative to your restore plan, that are comparative to your SLA, that is included in the business continuity, that is something that you actually rely on. Don't build stuff because you can do it. Build stuff because you need it, because there's a business value. Okay, moving on. Any questions on the centralized console? No? DAs? You all gonna run home now and build DAs? Good. So orchestrator. Remember what I said regarding automation. Of course, automate. I would love you guys to automate, but identify the top three headaches, right? Top three alerts, and start doing a proper, a decent, a valuable automation. And then you automate. And automate your workflows, of course, in Orchestrator, but I would highly recommend you to start being more PowerShell hardcore. Work with SMA. But if you're having Orchestrator, the thing that you need to do is two things on the DPM server side. You need to have the possibility to execute PowerShell scripts. And that is something that is depending on VMI execution, of course, but also the remote site. So you need to have that populated. And also on the Orchestrator server, and on the DPM servers, you need to have the Windows Remote Management Trust Host in the local security policy enabled. So you have the possibility to kick something off remotely to the DPM server. Time flies, and let's have a look at Orchestrator. And the thing about Orchestrator is that with your integration packs, you build up in your runbook the different activities. You connect them with the data bus, and you populate the next activity from the data collected previously in the previously activity. And what I'm doing here is I'm monitoring one specific alert. This is one of my top three alerts, right? So what I'm doing here is I'm monitoring a resolution state. What is a resolution state in SCOM or Ops Manager? The current state that is populated within the operational database, right? And I'm looking only for new alerts. Next, I'm looking at the monitoring object health state. I want to see the criticals, right? And then I have the names, and the names should contain DPM replica as inconsistent. And then I have the net bias computer name that is equal to my DPM server. Then I know that with those filters in this activity, I will provide, you know, the information I need to have the information that, okay, something has gone wrong. Let's move on to the next activity. So in the next activity, I need to update my alert, my resolution state, because my operators, my service desk, or my help desk needs to know that, okay, Orchestrator owns this right now. So what I'm doing here is I'm updating the actual alert, saying that SEO is working. Then the operators know that. From here, I'll kick off a DPM partial script that will identify the different objects or data sources that is in an actual critical state. I will do a consistency check, get those data set consistent again. And the bad thing about Orchestrator is that if you can start the activity, woohoo, then it's happy. You need to build in the fault tolerance within the partial script, right? And if the execution, both of the activity or the commands within the partial script fails, you need to have that managed. So if that happened, I will update alerts, send an email to the operator saying that, OK, guys, you need to have a look at this manually. You need to do this by yourself. Questions? Everything is crystal clear, or you are afraid. Don't be afraid. I will not bite you. Service Manager. How many in here loves Service Manager? You do? And I love you. Service Manager is a good thing. Here's the thing. There's a lot of, interesting conversations regarding, oh, it doesn't scale, oh, it looks bad, or yada, yada, yada. Okay, but use the product for its purpose, right? Because you should never think that, oh, I have those challenges, right? I will buy this product, and it will be a salvation in my data center. Come on, it doesn't work that way, and it will never work that way. You guys need to put hard work in building that scenario yourself. Combine the different possibilities. So, from a service manager perspective, when you are building up the service and present that, have an easy approach, an easy naming convention, well-structured and well-designed services. And before you put them in production, try them out. Just a tip. So let's see if we can deliver Bass. Sounds good? Yep. Yeah, let's do it. Okay, so here's my server offerings. As you see, I have something called backup as a service and also restore as a service. And this is a standard portal. And there's a lot of third-party vendors out there like Cyrus, and they're doing a great job like building or presenting information in Ops Manager, Savision. They're doing a great job. If you have not tried them out, Savision or Cyrus, try them out. They're building good things. So let's say that we want backup as a service. And let's hope that my portal is not too slow in my lab in Sweden. So let's see now. OK, so here's the thing. I can request client backup. Does anyone use client backup? No one. I get that, because this is like people doesn't really know that this exists. So my hoping with this demo is that you guys can say, oh, I can do something constructive with this. From here, I can request SQL backup or client backup. And client backup is more or less deploying my DPM agent using Orchestrator and Config Manager and stuff like that to the actual client, right? And with that DPM agent report back, I get what we call a CPP, a company protection policy, that defines the actual data sources that will be included. Because why is the reason that you guys are using folder redirecting policy for my documents? The major reason is that, oh, we need to provide backup for the user data, right? Yeah. You don't have to do that anymore. What you do is you provide them a DPM agent, and you provide them a backup as a service and restore as a service, like this, and the end users are themselves responsible. There are some limitations that you should be aware of, like when you're doing restores, you need to have connectivity to your DPM server. But here's the thing. Combine the possibilities of file history and the DPM agent. Ever heard of file history? Use it. and move some of the services that you are using today out from your data center to the end users. So let's request client backup. So I queried the CMDB, so I know that I'm logged in using two PCs, and I want to have a DPM agent deployed to this one. And depending on my class, I go with the gold class, yeah. The thing is, when I say that I want to have this, there you go, and I submit that, what is actually happening right now is that, like, my boss is getting an email saying, Robert would like to have backup of his client. You want to be included in the BaaS service. Okay. He can acknowledge that, and PowerShell will kick in, the different components of the System Center will kick in and deploy the DPM agent, include my PC in that protection group, and start protect my data. There are a few of you, like 20 people right here. I would just like, I'm curious. Could you all just applaud? All everybody, so I just can hear the word, yeah, the sound. Yeah, because that's the sound I would love to hear if this demo works, okay? So let's see if we have a DPM agent now on the client. Are you guys ready? Here goes nothing. Oh, there's something in the Action Center, whoops. Let's see now. Aha, there you go. So what I have done now is I provided BaaS to my client. I don't need to have folder redirection policy. Skip that. And you can use that server for something else. Questions, friends? No? Mm-hmm. Well now, if there are any questions that will pop up, feel free to come forward, ask. I'll be more than happy to talk to you, or pop me an email. So, with no further questions, thank you so much for attending this session. It's been my great pleasure. So I wish you a good last day of SU, and take care. Bye-bye.